Live from WRAL News Headquarters in Raleigh, your number one source for local news. WRAL News, coverage you can count on.
A woman described as bubbly, sweet, and funny gunned down outside her place of work. Right now, police are on the hunt for the shooter.
And it's pretty chilly outside today. Temperatures will be climbing soon, but as temperatures go up, so will rain chances. I'm tracking the timing for the changes coming up.
And moments ago, NC State leaders held a webinar to discuss developments about the health evaluation at Poe Hall. What we've learned during this meeting, several months in the making.
Following a sad story out of Apex, where police are investigating the murder of a mother of two. It happened this morning in the parking lot of the Molly Maid at Beaver Creek Crossings. Good afternoon to you. I'm Jeff Hogan.
And I'm Michelle McConaughey in for Renee Chu. Thanks for joining us. Sky 5 flew over the scene as employees and police officers gathered to investigate there. WRAL's Chelsea Donovan is on the scene as it remains active this afternoon. And the person behind the shooting is on the run, Chelsea.
Yeah, so we now know a mother of two, a 30-year-old woman, was shot and killed in this parking lot here that you see behind me. Still active with Apex Police as they're continuing to investigate this scene. Chief Jason Armstrong with Apex Police said the woman's ex-boyfriend came into the business and asked her several times to come out. After several asks, she did, and that's when authorities say she was shot several times in the parking lot and later died. Now, this is video of the scene this morning. Police say the shooting happened around 8:30. After police say that homicide occurred, they rushed the woman to the hospital, but she didn't make it. Police say the suspect got back in his car, fleeing the scene. They have no idea right now where he is at. Now, this business shut down for the day. You can see all of these employees huddling together, trying to process what just happened to their coworker as it all played out in front of them.
We need people to wrap themselves around the family of the victim, the co-workers here at this business. And so we really need the community to come together and just be there to support one another through this tragedy.
Now, Apex Police say they'll release information on that suspected shooter, hopefully asking the public for help for his whereabouts. Now, we know employees are describing this mother of two as a bubbly, fun, hard worker trying to just make and meet with her family. She's worked at this location for about 3 years. Of course, the more information we'll get, we'll pass it on to you in our later newscasts.
Just a terrible, terrible situation, Chelsea. Hopefully they find that man soon. We know you'll keep us updated. Chelsea Donovan live in Apex. Thanks, Chelsea. And you're looking live at a picture of U.S. 264 in Nash County. As you can see there, there are several vehicles involved in a crash. Traffic is shut down. We don't know if there were any injuries or charges.
We're going to tell you right now that our afternoon temperatures, you'll notice they are much warmer than yesterday, although it's taken a little while to get there for us. Kat Campbell's over in the WRAL Severe Weather Center now. Look at a chance. They're going to take a plunge again tonight. Maybe a chance for frost, Kat?
Yes, we'll have the chance for frost, but we're not looking at a threat of a freeze like we saw last night, at least the way it looks right now. Still, if you have any sensitive plants, you'll want to cover them up and protect them tonight. Could get down to 34 in Roxborough, 35 in South Hill, 38 in Raleigh, 37 for Durham, Rocky Mount, and Fayetteville. It's still going to be chilly as you are waking up tomorrow morning. And if we really zero in, nowhere are we likely to see a hard freeze or anything like that. That's up closer to Virginia and West Virginia, but all the areas in blue, mainly north of Raleigh, west and east, that's where we've got the greatest threat of a frost. Temperatures will start climbing, though, after tonight, our lows and our highs. It's only temporary because we are already tracking our next cold front. We're up to 66 tomorrow, and it's still dry, so enjoy tomorrow. Wednesday and Thursday both feature a chance for rain, and then temperatures will trend down because it's a cold front that's going to bring this chance for rain. You can see it really starting to come together already, some thunder and lightning in East Texas from this system. It gets here Wednesday, but this is an incredibly slow-moving cold front, so we're likely to see the impacts linger into Thursday, and we could even see an area of low pressure spin up along this front, and that would bring some heavier rain our way early Thursday, if that's the case, and we'll watch for a few storms in eastern North Carolina. I'll track when the rain arrives and when it could clear hour by hour coming up.
And we continue to follow some breaking news out of Harnett County. Harnett County Sheriff's Office issuing an Ashanti alert. That's an alert involving an adult where that adult might be in danger. Take a look at your screen. They're looking for this woman, 22-year-old Jessie Nicole Cunha. She's 5'3", 160 pounds, blonde hair, blue eyes. She's been reported missing since very early this morning. This was breaking news when we came on the air at 4:30. Our Fayetteville reporter Gilbert Bays is talking with the Harnett County Sheriff's Office to determine the status of this investigation. We're also working to find out whether or not she was abducted and how she was abducted. We're asking all these questions. As soon as we get any updated information, we'll be sure to keep you updated.
NC state leaders and health experts took questions about the PCB contamination inside Poe Hall. WRL's Eric Miller listened in on that virtual Q&A. He is live with us right now with what came out of that discussion about these cancer clusters. Eric.
Yeah, Jeff, PCBs, of course, the chemicals found here at Poe Hall, they have been linked to cancer. But what university administrators and doctors made clear during that webinar is that the specific chemicals found here and the specific cases of cancer in students and staff so far, those have not been linked. Now, since Poe Hall closed 4 months ago, Five on Your Side has heard from 152 people who shared their cancer diagnoses with WRAL. During today's webinar, which included both Chancellor Randy Woodson, Provost Warwick Arden, as well as two outside epidemiologists, they answered written questions on Zoom. That included Dr. Zach Moore. He is the state epidemiologist with the North Carolina Department of Health and Human Services. Moore talked about how difficult it is to establish cancer clusters, particularly when you're talking about something on the scale of just a building as opposed to an entire community. Now, during this event, Woodson also took questions and concerns from the community and included addressing the fact that for now, the university will not be providing and will not reimburse students and employees who worked in Poe Hall who want to get tested for PCBs.
And until we know more, each individual must make decisions about their own health in partnership with their medical providers. It, as a point of clarification, Campus Health, for example, does not currently offer any specific tests for PCBs.
Now, the university has said that to understand the health impacts, they first have to understand the source of those PCBs and what exactly people have been exposed to. In an exclusive interview with WRAL last week, Chancellor Woodson said they do expect test results and more concrete answers in April next month. Of course, we'll be watching very closely to see what those test results reveal. Jeff? Yeah,
some will find that disturbing news, what they found out from the chancellor there. We'll wait to get more information. Eric, live on campus, thank you. Also, today, UNC Hospitals, UNC Health Rex, and UNC Health Chatham are ending some temporary age-based visitor restrictions. Visitors 11 years of age and younger will once again be allowed into those inpatient areas and waiting rooms. Visitors with respiratory symptoms will still be prohibited from those areas. The change is because there are just fewer people being admitted to the hospital for flu, RSV, and COVID.
A man charged with two murders that were committed just 2 days apart will now make his first court appearance in Durham. 41-year-old Daryl Hart has been charged in the death of Laren Allen on February 8th on Denfield Street. Hart is also charged in the murder of Gregory Heaton on February 10th on Horton Road. He was set to appear in court today, but officials said he was not brought over from the detention center and will now appear tomorrow. Hart was taken into custody February 29th in Charlotte after leading police there on a chase. Durham police say both killings were isolated incidents.
With breaking news this noon in a pair of trials against former President Donald Trump. Within the past 30 minutes, a New York court agreed to block collection of Trump's civil fraud judgment if he puts up $175 million within 10 days. Trump was facing a deadline today to secure a bond for the full $464 million judgment. Meanwhile, Trump's legal team hopes to get the charges in the hush money case dismissed or further delay the trial. The trial was scheduled to begin this month, but is now expected to start in April. This case stems from money paid to porn star Stormy Daniels to cover up an alleged affair between the two.
former Republican National Committee Chairwoman Ronna McDaniel is now calling the January 6th attack on the U.S. Capitol, quote, unacceptable. The statement comes after years of deflection. McDaniel said that she has not spoken out against the attack because she was the RNC chair. She left the position earlier this month. McDaniel also acknowledged that President Biden won the 2020 election, quote, fair and square. And President Biden and Vice President Kamala Harris will visit Raleigh tomorrow. They'll attend a private fundraiser in Raleigh where the lowest donation to attend is $3,300. Biden and Harris will also be delivering remarks during their visit. WRL will provide coverage of that visit.
Boeing CEO and two other executives are leaving the company by the end of the year. Dave Calhoun made that announcement this morning. Boeing has been hit by more than 5 years of problems with its airplanes, including two fatal crashes of the 737 MAX in 2018 and 2019 that killed hundreds of people. Most recently, a door plug blew out of the side of an Alaska Airlines 737 MAX in January. The problems have led to several groundings for safety issues and more than $31 billion in losses.
The $1.2 trillion spending bill Congress approved to avoid a government shutdown contained a controversial provision that the White House hopes to repeal. The funding bill effectively bans pride flags that show support for the LGBTQ plus community. A White House spokesperson says President Biden believes it was inappropriate to include this policy in the spending bill, and he will work with members of Congress to try and repeal it.
Next at noon, reports of Israel blocking aid to Gaza, how the U.S. is responding to those deliveries being denied.
Also, stormy weather from Montana to Maine, where some people are happy about the spring snow.
Plus, Princess Kate's cancer diagnosis has come with an outpouring of support. At 12:30, we'll tell you what's next for the royal family.
Keep watching WRAL News over the air, Channel 34 and Spectrum Channel 1257.
Tomorrow, the U.S. Supreme Court is set to decide access to the widely used abortion drug mifepristone. The FDA approved the drug in 2000, and it's used by millions of women worldwide. Pro-life advocates are seeking to limit access to the abortion pill, claiming it's unsafe, citing several studies. Abortion supporters say lifting restrictions could set a precedent on how drugs are approved and affect the abortion drug's availability.
The court's mifepristone case has the potential, obviously, to upend how drug approvals function. If you can challenge drug approvals years or even decades after the fact by asking judges to sort of second guess the evidence that regulators have meticulously reviewed, that sets a pretty important precedent.
Mifepristone is taken with another drug to perform medication abortions, which account for more than 60% of abortions nationwide. And senior doctors in South Korea are resigning in solidarity with medical students on strike. The medical students are on strike after the South Korean government expanded medical school admission caps. The students say their schools are not able to handle the influx of students. 12,000 of the interns and medical residents could see their licenses suspended because they refuse to end the strike. The senior doctors who have submitted their resignations say they will continue to see patients.
And happening now on the WRA Live Center, just before we came on the air, we got word that Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu canceled a diplomatic trip to the United States as we look live at the White House this noon hour. This decision comes after the United Nations Security Council passed a resolution calling for an immediate ceasefire in Gaza. Now, four resolutions have failed, including one that was proposed by the United States, but this time the United States abstained, allowing this resolution to pass. Now, this resolution is backed by 14 nations, including China and Russia, demanding an immediate ceasefire during the Islamic month of Ramadan and the release of all hostages. Netanyahu was supposed to address GOP members of Congress and others once he was here in the United States. No word on if and when this trip will be rescheduled. We keep you updated.
Thanks, Ken. The head of the UN Palestinian Refugee Agency, known as UNRWA, says Israel is blocking it from delivering food and other aid to northern Gaza. It says it's tried several times over the past 2 months to make deliveries, but Israel has rejected them each time. Israel has accused UNRWA employees of taking part in the October 7th massacre, crossing into Israel in some cases, even taking Israeli hostages. Vice President Kamala Harris over the weekend warned that if Israel presses ahead with its plan to attack the city of Rafah in southern Gaza, the U.S. is not ruling out the possibility of consequences. Four men charged in connection with one of the deadliest attacks in Russia's history appeared in court as Russians observed a national day of mourning. The men are accused of killing more than 130 people inside a concert hall in Moscow. ISIS has claimed responsibility, but Russian President Vladimir Putin is trying to tie this to Ukraine in this attack. Now, if convicted, the men face maximum sentences of life in prison.
A significant winter storm is now moving across the northern U.S. From Montana to Maine, we're seeing heavy snowfall and what could be a record for early spring storms. Brandy Campbell is in Minneapolis, where some residents, they're happy to see the spring snow.
I've lived here almost a quarter of a century, and this is the first winter I can remember like this.
Folks here in Minneapolis are digging out on Monday following a massive spring storm that dumped more than half a foot of snow on the city. And they're not the only ones. Heavy snow reported from Montana to Maine, with up to 2 feet falling in some parts of New England. Winter weather advisories are now in effect in some areas, but many say they don't mind the late season storm.
We've both been missing the snow because, yeah, it's been very strange not having snow, especially when it's part of the reason we moved here.
But all this snow and rain is making for a messy commute. Thousands of flights were canceled or delayed on Sunday night and Monday morning, and it's not much better on the roads. Police reporting hundreds of accidents as drivers struggled with ice and snow.
I got pushed and slid about 50 feet, and thankfully I got control, but I almost hit the guardrail.
Another major issue, keeping the lights on. At the peak of the storm, hundreds of thousands of customers lost power, but many of those outages had been restored by Monday morning. And fans of cold weather from coast to coast say they're just trying to enjoy the snow while it lasts.
It's a welcome late season event. You know, we'd like to have it sooner. We'll take it when we can get it.
That was Brandy Campbell reporting there. And get this, there could be more coming. Another winter storm is developing out west and could bring more snow to the Midwest through tomorrow.
And back in our state, a group of adventurous runners got together Saturday morning to summit Mount Mitchell, the highest mountain anywhere east of the Mississippi. Started off nice enough, as you see, but at the top, it was 21 degrees with the wind chill. It's an ultramarathon called the Mount Mitchell Heartbreaker. 50 miles of trails traversed throughout the day with some great organization and help from volunteers. Most of the folks were able to make it back down to the bottom safely. And 97 people finished in the allotted time. I was elated to be one of them and get off that mountain. Goodness, it's a different ecosystem up there, I tell you.
It is. And, you know, it could have been worse, Jeff. Mount Mitchell has all the North Carolina weather records. It was negative 34 there once. That was the actual temperature, not the wind chill. How was the 21? So you did okay in the 21 wind chill?
So I was fine in the 21 wind chill. It wasn't too bad, but I wanted to get down.
I'm impressed. I am very impressed, especially with all, you know, the distance traveled up there in that climate. Really cool. Congratulations to you, Jeff, and everybody else who made it to the bottom.
There was a bunch of folks that were hardy souls out there.
It's pretty wild up there. If you've never climbed to the top, you got to go. It also holds the record for the highest wind speed, 180 miles per hour. Lots of cool weather up there, and we're thankful that they have web cameras and weather stations up there, so we don't always have to trek up there to get those measurements. All right, not so bad here at home today in Durham. A bright blue sky. You know, I think Duke fans would be calling this a Duke blue sky there in Durham. Looking pretty good today, 52 degrees right now, a northeast wind around 6 miles per hour. So we don't quite have the strong wind that we did yesterday. It's settling down a bit, and we've got a little bit of a lull before our next weather system arrives. So enjoy the sunshine today. It'll be around 60 degrees as the kids are heading home on the bus this afternoon. Temperatures should keep warming up today. We'll be in the 60s by the afternoon, but we've got a cold front lining up to our west, and this is going to knock temperatures back down, not necessarily to freezing, but it will be cooler for a couple days later this week. So prepare for more roller coaster temperatures. After all, it is still March, so we typically still see a lot of these ups and downs throughout the month of March. Throughout the day tomorrow, we are going to see more cloud cover move in. High temperatures should still reach the low to mid 60s, but we're going to keep an eye eye on cloud cover because that may limit temperatures. So we'll address that at 4 o'clock once some of the new model data comes in. But the mountains are already going to be seeing some of the rain and perhaps a rumble of thunder arrive tomorrow. It doesn't get here until early Wednesday. Wednesday morning, there will be a chance for some rain during the morning commute. The best chance would likely be in the western part of our area and toward the Triad. And then throughout the day, we could see multiple rounds of these scattered showers, perhaps an isolated rumble of thunder develop. And that's because this cold front, it just doesn't really move throughout the day Wednesday, and it has a tough time even moving out of here on Thursday. I'll say this, you know, it doesn't look like it's going to be an all-day rain event for us on Wednesday or Thursday, but with this front hanging out nearby, a wind out of the east drawing in a lot of moisture, we'll see multiple rounds of these scattered showers develop, an isolated rumble of thunder, and you can see for the evening commute, there will be some rain around on Wednesday as well. So keep an eye on the WREL weather app. If you've got any outdoor plans, there is a high chance for rain, and it could be heavy Wednesday. Right now, we're under a low-end flooding risk. We could see some isolated flash flooding with this setup that we have in place. We're going to need to watch Thursday as well because we could see an area of low pressure spin up around the front, and that may really help to generate a lot of lift to generate more heavy rain. So Wednesday and Thursday, they're going to be the days to watch this week, and then our low temperatures dip back into the 40s. The good news is, Easter weekend, it looks like we'll be warmer with high temperatures back in the mid-70s.
Beautiful. Thanks, Kat. Rocky Mount Police are finding success in their work to cut down on downtown crime. How their increased presence is helping. That's at 5:30.
Plus, an e-bike started a house fire in Raleigh over the weekend. Why consumer experts say you should skip the motorized ride. That's at 6.
Welcome back on this beautiful Monday afternoon. You are looking live at the Azalea Gardens right here at the WREL studios. You're watching WREL News, available on YouTube TV and the WREL app on your TV or streaming device.
Companies are taking a new approach to luring employees back to the office. Some employers are offering housing benefits to coax workers to return on site and even attract new employees. A new survey found 47% of remote workers said they'd come back in person if housing benefits were offered. Two-thirds said they'd switch companies or careers if they could access such perks. Employees who work at companies already providing housing benefits reported having higher job satisfaction. We took a deeper look at what that really means to workers, what matters to them. Here's what we found in one survey. Companies paying for commuting costs top the list, followed by greater privacy at the office, like offices and researchers saying now might be a good time to drop the dress code. 24% of workers, about 1 in 4, said that they would be enticed to go to the office if they were able to wear whatever they wanted.
Chick-fil-A says it's making a change in order to maintain providing high-quality chicken to its customers. Instead of using chickens labeled no antibiotics ever, the company will now switch to no antibiotics important to human medicine. This means that some antibiotics might be used only if the chickens and those around it become sick. There's no deadline for when the switch will be made, but the change is expected to happen during the spring. And the FAA is giving approval for a Texas drone maker to use so-called drone swarms in farming. Hylio, the drone maker, says that the drone method will cost about a third of the amount compared to conventional tractors and seeding rigs. A two-person team can fly up to 3 drones at once, covering triple the area, making it almost as fast as a traditional tractor. The drones cost about $50,000, while a tractor can range from $300,000 to $700,000.
And happening now in the WREL Live Center, we continue to follow breaking news out of Apex. We have new information in connection with the man police are looking for concerning a deadly shooting in Apex.
Also, Britain's Princess Kate asks for privacy after announcing her cancer diagnosis. But will the world grant her request?
And here's a look at your winning NC Education lottery numbers on your screen.
Welcome back. We continue to follow breaking news out of Apex this noon hour. We shared this with you. It's breaking news at the top of the broadcast. A shooting at Beaver Creek Commons outside the Molly May there. Take a look at your screen. This is new information just into our news, and police are looking for this man, 30-year-old Tevin Leach, in connection with that shooting that left a 30-year-old mother of two dead. On the right, you see his par, which he was registered to. Leach was the woman's ex-boyfriend, according to police. He came to that Molly Maid location at Beaver Creek Commons, asking her to come out outside several times. At first, she did not. Then eventually she came outside, and police say that's when Leach shot her. She was rushed to the hospital, but did not make it again. This is video from Sky 5 that was over the scene shortly after this incident happened earlier this morning at Beaver Creek Commons, where that 30-year-old mother of two was shot. Again, police are looking for 30-year-old Tevin Leach. The mugshot that we're just showing you right now is from a 2023 arrest. According to police, he has a long history of violence, burglary, communicating threats, assaulting a female. This all dates back to 2009. Our Chelsea Donovan is on the scene. She's asking questions, talking with witnesses. Look for new reporting on this story starting at 4 in WREL.
All right, thank you, Ken. Now to Princess Kate's cancer diagnosis. NBC's Molly Hunter reports on the outpouring of support following her announcement and what's next for the royal family.
This morning, an outpouring of love and support for the Princess of Wales following her shocking announcement.
In January, I underwent major abdominal surgery in London. And at the time, it was thought that my condition was non-cancerous. The surgery was successful. However, tests after the operation found cancer had been present.
In Friday's deeply personal video message, the 42-year-old sharing she's in the early stages of preventative chemotherapy, which Kensington Palace has begun in February. The palace adds Kate herself chose to write and deliver a video message instead of a written statement.
I am well and getting stronger every day.
And the global reaction was immediate. President Biden posting, Jill and I join millions around the world in praying for your full recovery, Princess Kate. The British Prime Minister adding, the Princess of Wales has the love and support of the whole country. And Kate's brother, James Middleton, posting, over the years, we have climbed many mountains together. As a family, we will climb this one with you too. From California, Prince Harry and Meghan wishing Kate health and healing and have reached out to the Wales family privately.
Having William by my side is a great source of comfort and reassurance too, as is the love, support and kindness that has been shown by so many of you.
Immediately following the announcement, King Charles also going through cancer treatment, saying he is so proud of his daughter-in-law.
I think for her and for the king, the outpouring of support for both of them and well wishes for both of them to recover quickly has been hugely heartening.
A source at Kensington Palace adds the pair had lunch on Friday before the video's release.
This new experience for them both will really cement what has long been a very affectionate bond between the king and his beloved daughter-in-law. You know, they share a lot of the same interests.
And now, with the kids on Easter holiday, a plea to grant her family privacy while she recovers.
As a family, we now need some time, space, and privacy while I complete my treatment. For now, I must focus on making a full recovery.
That was Molly Hunter reporting. The cancer is gone for now, but she still has 5 more years of tests and scans ahead.
10X Shaw University debuted yesterday at Shaw, spotlighting the enduring significance of HBCUs in education. Shaw is the second HBCU to host TEDx speakers. Sunday's talk featured speakers like Nakia Carter, an HBCU intern and CBC UNC Diversity Fellow. Nakia and her fellow visionaries showcased their spirit and innovation while sharing forward-thinking ideas.
I'm just really happy to be here as a student representing Shaw University. I think it's important that I am, you know, highlighting what other students can do. The world is full of opportunity, and I think it's important at specific events like this to shine your light because you don't know how many other people you can honestly inspire doing that.
The debut represents a significant milestone for the university. It acknowledges how important it is to have different voices shaping the future while sharing ideas that promote positive change.
happening today. NC State's women's host Tennessee at Reynolds Coliseum with a spot on the Sweet 16, with a spot in the Sweet 16. It's on the line. NC State is a 3 seed in the region. They advanced to this round with a big win over Chattanooga in the opening round on Saturday. The 6 seed Tennessee got here with a win over Green Bay. Their coach is Kelly Harper, who coached the Wolfpack for 4 seasons, 2009 to 2013. Tip-off of today's second round match is 4 o'clock this afternoon. The winner will play Stanford in the Sweet 16 on Friday. And NC State will be looking to join Duke in the Sweet 16. The Blue Devils advanced on Sunday with a big upset win over Big Ten champion Ohio State on their home floor in Columbus. Duke won that one 75-63. They'll play either Syracuse or UConn in the Sweet 16 on Saturday. And the season is over for the UNC women. They fell to the tournament's top overall seed, South Carolina, 88-41. The Tar Heels finished the season with an impressive 20-13 record.
Just ahead this noon, protecting musicians from artificial intelligence. The new law expected to go into effect this summer. And the number of people 50 years old and up getting a divorce is increasing drastically. Who it affects the most? We'd love to connect with you online. Just follow WRAL on Facebook to join the conversation.
Happening now with the WRAL Live Center, updating a story we first brought you about 30 minutes ago. Well, a judge has set the criminal trial date for this criminal trial on charges that Mr. Trump hid a sex scandal. That trial date is set for April 15th. The judge suggested that Mr. Trump's attorneys were dragging their feet and scolded them for accusing Manhattan prosecutors of misconduct without any substantiating evidence to prove that. Again, that trial date is set for April 15th.
A new AI chatbot is helping young Gen Z kids with their mental health. EarKick is designed to help users navigate their anxiety by providing guided breathing exercises, ways to reframe negative thinking, and stress management tips to its users. EarKick has become a part of many therapists' approach in treatment, but the app's co-founder wants to make sure users know that it's not a replacement for therapy. Chatbots for mental health have come under scrutiny because there's limited data on whether chatbot apps actually help users. A law designed to prevent artificial intelligence from stealing the voices of musicians is expected to take effect in Tennessee this summer. The bill is officially called the Ensuing Likeness, Voice, and Image Security Act, the Elvis Act for short. It criminalizes anyone using AI tools to replicate an artist's voice without their legal consent. Advocates hope to build momentum for nationwide deepfake protections.
Gray divorce rates have gotten increasingly high, and experts say the financial impact is typically hitting women more than men. The term that describes divorce at 50 years old and above, that's gray divorce. And this type of divorce has doubled from the start of the 90s to the end of the 2010s. A woman's household income a year after a divorce typically drops between 23% and 40%. Some studies show the financial impact is less harsh on men, indicating a man's income may even rise after a divorce. And add the cost of dating to the list of things that people are feeling stressed about these days. 68% of Americans get on edge about how much a date will cost and which party should pay. Nearly half of those who were surveyed say the person who earns more should pay for the first date. And a third of respondents said it's best to go Dutch on the first date. Protocol experts say that the person who's treated on the first date may want to offer to pick up the next check if there is a second date. Well, when my boyfriend and I went on our first date, he did pay.
Okay.
But now, you know, we're seriously dating. We go back and forth. If he pays for something, I'll pick up, you know, dinner next time.
I mean, that could be contentious, right? Like, who makes more? Is that what you're trying to figure out?
Right.
Like, when folks are, you know, like, the person who makes more should pay more or pick up the tab. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's like, a little research, that's all. That's all it takes. There's a blizzard warning that continues for the Midwest after getting snow all weekend. And coming up, the dangerous winds and snow accumulating in parts of Minnesota.
And what was formerly Twitter is struggling to keep people on the platform. What new reports say about the user base on Elon Musk's social media site X, just ahead.
And happening now in the WREL Live Center, a Hillsborough man is due in court about a little more than an hour from now on child sex crimes. The Orange County Sheriff's Office says 23-year-old Lucas Atwood is charged with 26 counts of third-degree sexual exploitation of a minor and a felony probation. Atwood is a registered sex offender. He was arrested Friday and spent the entire weekend in the Orange County Detention Center with no bond. Deputies got a tip from the Internet Crimes Against Children's Task Force, which led them to Atwater. We will be monitoring that court proceeding and keep you updated.
A strong storm brought blizzard conditions to the Midwest over the weekend. That storm brought heavy snow and gusty winds across several states. Wind gusts up to 50 miles per hour caused some power outages and tree damage. Parts of Minnesota are expected to see up to a foot of snow by tomorrow. Blizzard warnings have been issued for portions of the plains and upper Midwest.
But we saw some people talking about that before. Some people are happy about this. Some people want the snow. They want to see it.
They are. They're not scared of it,
no.
Even though we're past the official start of spring.
Yeah.
It's just where you live. You know, they live in the upper Midwest.
Right.
They're used to it.
They're used to it.
If that happened here
no.
today, how
no,
would we
would
react?
Shut down.
Not even.
I can't even fathom it. But, you know, we woke up to temperatures near freezing this morning, so that puts it into perspective. We don't have it too bad here at home. It is cool, though, cooler than normal. Normal high this time of year is now in the mid-60s. We're sitting in the low 50s at this hour, 52 in Durham and Raleigh, 53 degrees in Fayetteville right now. By the evening commute, we should be back in the 60s. We'll see plenty of sunshine, dry weather for your drive home from work. But temperatures are going to be cooling back off tonight. We can't entirely rule out some frost overnight. We're not looking at a freeze threat or a widespread frost threat, but the lows fall into the mid to upper 30s. 42 is our normal low this time of year. Temperatures are going to be bouncing back overnight Wednesday and Thursday, but that's really due to all the cloud cover that we'll see and rain chances helping to keep temperatures a bit more steady. And then a cold front brings some cooler temperatures by the end of the week. We try to warm up above normal by tomorrow and Wednesday, but we just get close to normal before our next shot of cooler than normal temperatures arrives for the end of the week. That's coming with a cold front that's going to bring us some soaking rain Wednesday and likely during the day Thursday as well. So we're not done with the cool temperatures just yet. Still some ups and downs, but there are signs of above normal temperatures across the southeast as we begin the month of April. The long range temperature outlook shows below normal temperatures likely out west and above normal for the southeast. So those of you who are ready for some more of those warmer temperatures that's on the horizon as we get into early April, above normal rainfall remains in the forecast. After all, it is still spring. April showers bring May flowers. Looking ahead, we've got quite a bit of rain in the forecast this week, likely over an inch Wednesday into Thursday. Thursday, we're going to be watching for some perhaps heavy rain in the morning hours especially. So stay with us as we keep an eye on the heaviest rain periods for the next couple of days. If you do need to get some yard work done, get it done Tuesday. Even Friday, you may struggle to get any yard work done just due to the fact that the grounds are still going to be so wet. Over the weekend, you should have some drier weather. If you have something blooming in your yard, some azaleas maybe, send us a photo on WREL.com/weatherwatchers. I'm looking for some photos to share on our 4 o'clock news today. So please share those with us. We would love to see what is blooming at your house. Lows tonight are on the cool side. We're in the mid to upper 30s. We'll see more clouds moving in, and a light wind should help to keep any widespread frost threat down. Tomorrow's highs are back in the mid 60s, perhaps upper 60s in our southern counties, but that's very dependent on cloud cover that we're going to see stream into the area tomorrow. Rain chances up to 70% Wednesday, 80% Wednesday night, and 90% on Thursday. Temperatures will be dipping a little bit. We're back in the upper 50s on Thursday. And the way it looks now, the most likely scenario for Easter weekend is that it would be pretty nice outside. But there is a cold front just to our north that's close enough that we're going to need to keep an eye on it. So we'll be watching that closely for you in the coming days here in the WREL Severe Weather Center.
All right. Thanks, Kat. Kevin Hart received one of the highest honors in comedy, his emotional reaction to the award, and where you can watch the full ceremony after the break. As we wrap things up, here's a look at a few of the headlines we're following today.
Apex police are looking for this man who they say shot and killed a mother of two. They say Tevin Leach shot the woman outside the Molly Maid at Beaver Creek Crossings. The business is closed for the day. Leach is said to be driving a beige or gold four-door sedan with tinted windows, possibly a Ford Fusion. If you see him, call police.
And officials are responding to a crash on U.S. 264 in Nash County. You can see several vehicles involved, shutting down traffic. No word yet on any injuries or if anybody was charged.
NC State leaders and health experts took questions about the PCB contamination inside Poe Hall. Dr. Zach Moore, an epidemiologist with the state health department, cited a recent study on cancer clusters. It shows that out of 560 cancer cluster investigations, only one identified a specific environmental cause. Chancellor Randy Woodson said for now the university will not reimburse students and staff who want to get tested for PCBs. And in an exclusive interview last week, Woodson told WRAL, they're working to understand the source of the PCBs, and they expect test results by the end of next month.
An emotional Kevin Hart received the Mark Twain Prize for American Humor during a ceremony at the Kennedy Center for the Performing Arts. The prize is given to performers who have made a lasting impact on humor and culture. The actor, comedian, and businessman began his career in his native Philadelphia, where he appeared in comedy clubs. Hart says he stuck with comedy because he enjoys lifting people's spirits.
Laughter makes everything go away for a second. For that moment, you're okay. Granted, after laughter, things can reappear, but for that moment or those moments, it's a good feeling.
And he makes everyone laugh, right? Past recipients include Dave Chappelle, Richard Pryor, and Jon Stewart. The awards ceremony will stream on Netflix May 11th.
Adam Sandler's in that group.
Yeah.
Best medicine, right?
Mm-hmm.
Elon Musk is struggling to attract and keep users on his X social media platform. Data from a market intelligence firm shows the U.S. user base has been down or flat every month since the November 2022 purchase. Last month, X had 27 million active daily users on the app in the U.S., down 18% from the previous year. Worldwide numbers aren't looking any better, with 174 million active daily users in February, down 15% from the prior year. 40 years after the first Ghostbusters movie hit theaters, the latest film in the franchise is here with even more ghosts than ever. Ghostbusters Frozen Empire debuted with an estimated just over $45 million over the weekend, slightly more than the franchise reboot Ghostbusters Afterlife in 2021. The newest installment shows newer Ghostbusters teaming up with the originals to save New York again. Dune Part 2 remained in second place, and Kung Fu Panda 4 dropped from first to third in its third week in the theaters.
Our pet of the day is always ready for some fun and laughs. Okay, look at this. Don't adjust your screen. This is Jackie Marvin, a five-year-old male. And at first we thought there was a problem with the photo, but the volunteers over at Safe Haven for Cats informed us that, no problem. This is just Jackie Marvin looking over the edge of the shelf. His delightful personality is sure to bring joy to your family. You can contact safehavenforcats.org to read profiles for Jackie Marvin and other cats who are ready for adoption. So cute.
Sort of upside down.
Yeah.
There. Can't see it.
Yeah.
Right? Coming up on WRL News at 4, as Women's History Month comes to an end, we are looking into income disparities between genders in our state. WRL's investigative data reporter Allie Ingersoll breaks down women versus men's pay in North Carolina.
NBC News Daily is coming up next on WRL, your next local news update in 30 minutes.
You can get breaking news updates anytime with our WRL News app. Enjoy that sunshine out there. Maybe it'll warm up.
Keep watching WRAL News over the Air Channel 34 and Spectrum Channel 1257.